219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth. 219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth.
Okay. Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's JD, the father, chiming in for 219 to talk. We're getting ready to have a hot, splendid show today. We're gonna be as hot as this heat is in, especially where we reside. It's 100 degrees in the morning when you get up around here.
It is a mess.
So you got me, JD the barber, and my trusty sidekick.
Queenie, no, you my trusty sidekick. How you just don't kick me to the side like that?
My bad.
That's cold blood. But hey, y'all, what's going on? What's going on out there? 219 family. What's going on out there? We got some awesome topics for you today. We're going to talk about Greenlee. We're going to talk about Lady May, you know. Lady May be holding it down on Greenlee. What you think about it? What you think about it, boo?
Man, I love me some Lady May.
Watch it.
Yeah, Lady May is the glue that holds our whole family together.
Huh.
She leaner than a wet cat. But she is the glue. She is truly a matriarch of a power family.
Yeah.
And I think with her being the matriarch of a power family, she understands the dynamics of what she has to do to hold that family together. Because let me tell you something, that fabric is so thin and raveled that it can fall apart at any time without her being there. So I understand, Lady May, and I admire her for the role that she plays on the show. But hold up, let's talk about James.
I wanted to see what you thought about the dynamic of James giving over the reins to his wife to go ahead and preach instead of him for the new church that they're trying to put
together. Well, the thing is, James understood that there's a season for everything. And I think that once he had an heart attack, and because of the stress that it had caused on his heart, and because of the stress that he was under as being the pastor trying to hold that church together and that family together, he realized he needed help. So he was more apt to let Lady May step in, which is what has been happening all throughout the history of the black family. When a black man needs help, the black woman has no problem standing behind and becoming his fifth backbone. So that's what's been happening.
I don't really see that she's standing behind him. I think that it's just her time.
Well, like I said, it
takes a beat.
He knew that it was. Everything has a season. So I think it was a lot of wisdom and understanding to let her start leading the situation.
Yeah, because it was a struggle at first. I believe some seasons before when she was last season she was trying to exert herself and really start to own her own identity.
Oh,
he really had a problem.
Oh, he fought a tooth and nail. That's why he found himself laying on his back, looking up in the church. Passed out. He had too much stress on him, and it turned the stress in his heart, and that heart clicked out on him for a second.
You know,
and left him laying on his back.
You know, in this season, they're talking a little bit more about health. His health is there. Looking at his memory, he suffered through some memory loss.
Yeah, she's making James be responsible for his health, making him go to the room and all that type of stuff. Which, let's just be honest now. Black men treat their bodies like they do their car. we don't take it to the shop until it breaks all the way down. Mm. You know, we've been hearing that squeaking.
Well, we're shining it up, though.
Right. We've been hearing that squeaking for 2 months. We've been noticing that oil slick in that driveway and just pouring more oil in it. Not knowing that oil slick means oil is leaking out and you got low oil pressure. Mm-hmm. And you keep on driving that thing real hard, that motor's going to lock up.
Right.
We don't care. We're going to drive that thing till the wheels fall off. And when the wheels fall off, we're going to try to put a Band-Aid on it and patch it back up.
And why is it so difficult for black
men hate going to the doctor. We see health and sickness as a weakness. We don't want to know that our body is failing on, falling apart. You're getting ragged as a fair, cut off short. But you instead of trying to be tough, you don't get your behind to that doctor. Let me tell you something about me, though. My wife gave me one job.
At one.
My wife told me when we got married, your first job is stay alive. So therefore, I do my part. I'm going to tell you like this here. I don't have no problem going to talk to the doctor.
No, Lord.
Show down. Let me tell you something. If my pinky finger don't feel like it did last week, I'm going to ask the doctor why my pinky finger. You need to run an x-ray on that and check that pinky finger and tell me why it ain't working right. Yeah, I ain't got time to play with you. All this healthcare, I'm trying to stretch my life out as far as I can.
And y'all, through my husband has United Healthcare, and it's a dual plan that what Kyle Tran set up for him. In case y'all want to get in contact with Kyle Tran, y'all go to our website, mygospelsoulmagazine.com. He set my husband up with awesome benefits. Now, my point is, what I'm getting to is this amazing card that my husband has. It's really got him out of control. Oh, my God. I have so many vitamins stacked up on the side of my bed. It is ridiculous. This morning. But this morning, he was like, did you take your vitamin D? Did you take your iron? And I'm going to go buy you something. Like, listen. You got one more vitamin, I'm going to have to start selling vitamins. I mean, it's cool because, like he said, I gave him one job and he's sticking to it. Listen, good job. Bravo.
Well, my thing is this. I understand the importance of vitamins and nutrients in our body. And the thing is, the older we get, the more we need those nutrients. But our diet sometimes is so jacked up that we don't get our body the nutrients and we don't feed it the nutrients and minerals that it needs. So I understand the importance of vitamins. So that's why I try to make sure that you and I both have all of the vitamin supplements, one of these, all of that calcium and magnesium and all that in your body, because those are healthy aspects that we need. And you don't get that from the food nowadays, because a lot of food that we eat nowadays ain't nothing but some damn filler. It ain't really no nutrient-giving, body-thriving type food. You know what I'm saying? So we need to get that in our spirit as black people to learn to understand that we need supplements. We need water, hydration. We need all of the aspects that they tell you about on TV that we ignore and end up killing over.
That topic was a good topic. Listen, make sure you take care of your health. Right now, it's a very important time for everybody to make sure you are staying at home. If you don't need to go nowhere, stay at home. Quarantine, put your mask on, find something to do around the house. You haven't cleaned the house in months, under centuries, so this is the perfect time to throw out stuff, take a picture of stuff, post it on the marketplace. Do what you need to do to cope with being at home. Do not kill each other, please.
Go get you a Swiffer.
Good. I need
and
a Swiffer.
Start dusting. I told you to get one the other day when we just talked.
Okay. I got to write it down. Listen, get around the house, find things to do. Not kill each other. Facebook Marketplace, I want to just give a shout out to Facebook Marketplace, because start taking some pictures of the stuff in your house that needs to go. Post it. sell it, market free, whatever. Let people come pick it up.
Especially
if you are in an apartment. You don't have the luxury of a driveway and or garage sale. So what you garage sale online. Start your whole thing right from your home. Okay?
Amen.
And wear out, it's another one called Mercy or something like that. You got
Mercado.
That's a good selling app. You got OfferUp is a good selling app. You can sell on your Instagram. You can sell on your Twitter. It's just all kinds of ways to get everything up out your house.
Oh,
okay, and make room.
There's quite a few options out there. You have to scroll and see which one works best for you.
Exactly.
Now let's move on to this other topic that I had a mentor, teacher, friend of mine who informed me today that 11-year-old boy here in Houston, Texas, decided to shoot himself in the head and get it over with. Let me explain something to y'all, black folks. We have to get back to the village mentality of raising these kids. This 11-year-old boy has made a permanent decision to a temporary problem that he had in his life. And because no one took the time to talk to him and shift his thoughts or curb his mental capacity, he is no longer with us. So his family is grieving. He's gone. His teachers are grieving because he's gone. And we will never see what this young black male could have turned out to be. People, let's get back to loving on and raising our faith.
Exactly.
This has become our mental health in our society important as our physical health.
That's true.
We tend to say, oh, he's just like that. Ain't nothing wrong with him. That's just how he is. If you had sat and talked with that baby and found out what it was causing him mental problems and why he's acting out like he is, you may have saved his life.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying the parents are wrong because parents do everything they can. But that it could have been a coach, a teacher, or somebody that noticed the difference in that baby. Because let me tell you something, there were signs well before he killed himself that people ignored and pushed under the rug and just let it happen. And next thing you know, that baby's brains was on that wall over there.
Wow.
So we need to get back to the village mentality of raising these kids. And people, I'm going to say it like this, people, quit fussing at adults who are correcting your children.
Especially if they write.
Well, y'all be expecting. That's what I'm inferring. But we have a problem with grown people correcting our children when our kids are dead-ass wrong. Sometimes, let me tell you something. If you come to my house and Junior boy over there on my couch jumping up and down with both feet and you don't say nothing to him, you best believe I'm going to say something to Junior boy. And if you got a problem with me saying something to Junior boy, I want you and Junior to get y'all behind in your car and get as far away from my house as you can. Because you let him go home and jump up and down on your stuff. Because that is no way for him to treat my stuff or for you to not say nothing and then expect me not to say anything. I lie to grab a belt and beat the hell out of Junior, to be honest with you. And if you have a problem with it, I lie to whoop you too. So I'm just saying how I operate. See, as black parents, we always holler about, oh, I want to give my children everything I didn't have. That's why I work so hard. I want to give them everything I never had. How about giving them little clowns something that you did have? And that's discipline. Give their ass discipline and decorum. Yeah, quit letting that baby do what he wants to and telling you yeah and no, not even saying yes, sir, or no, sir. My daddy used to tell me, put a handle on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what you talking about? When you say yes, you say yes, sir. When you say no, you say no, sir. Same thing with ma'am. I was not allowed to say yeah.
Ooh,
I say yeah. I say yes, sir, when I wake up. Yeah, once I get up and wake back up, I say yes, sir. I bet you that. Mm-hmm. And that was how Bobby Daniels ran his house and Mary Ann Daniels ran their house. And there was no room for mishap. I just understood that.
Yeah.
I knew without a shadow of doubt if my dad had a friend over, they was in the living room talking. And as soon as they start talking, I get up and go to my room. Nowadays, these kids get dead in your conversation. And people allow them to stay in the conversation. I better not say nothing. Let me tell you something. My daddy would have slapped the spit out of my mouth. I've literally heard kids, when their mama telling a story or their daddy telling a story, say, oh, dad, it didn't happen like that. I wish I would have. I'd have never grew up. I'd have never made it to the age I am now. At least not with my own teeth anyway. Now, once that knot went down, I might have been all right. But I wouldn't have had no more teeth in my mouth.
I know when I was growing up, just like you said, we couldn't get in grown people conversation. We couldn't even be in the same room. And nobody had to say, get out of here. Nobody had to even do that. We knew that when it was more than two grown people gathering in a room, that we needed to leave. Unless they said, let us pray. Then you could be in that room. But other than that, you better get out of here, go on the porch, go outside, go in another room, go read a book. You better do something. But you wasn't sitting in there getting in grown people's conversation.
Nowadays, baby.
And now, today we see hear a lot of children cussing at their parents, cussing with their parents, cussing around their parents, just going for it. Like, there is no boundary and there is no respect.
Let me tell you something. I have sat there and seen kids when their parents are talking, having conversations. They so far in their mom and their mouth like they counting teeth. I be like, damn, that baby's in that conversation. Man, I wish I would have leaned into my mom and their conversation. I was leaning to a left hook.
A left hook.
My mama had a mean left hook. She had an awesome backhand, too.
Yeah.
She hit you with that backhand. I promise you, slobber coming out your mouth.
Oh, straight out of.
Straight. Yeah.
Straight out. Like something out of.
It might be a week or two before you can take salt again.
Like some out of that. What is that we watch?
What?
UFC?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you hit somebody, and they bounce.
Yeah, that's how you.
And it, you be messed up.
Yeah.
You be messed up. Let's go on to our next topic, which comes to talk about. It's not funny, but it's some kind of segue into the topic of Empire Star, who plays the character Hakeem, was arrested for alleged domestic violence charges.
And you know what's so crazy?
Did you see his mugshot, though?
Yeah. You know what's so crazy, though? This ain't that clown first time.
Quit it.
No, he has a history of this foolishness.
But what? But they immediately got on Smollett, though.
Right. Let me explain something to you. A lot of these cats, just as like the dude from the shot, got written right out of there, blew his job, harassing women. And people on the set. Look here, fool. You making a bunch of money. The people take care of you.
A bunch of money.
You say something.
Not a bunch, but
bunches of money. Now, the thing is, these cats get a invincible complex to start making certain amounts of money that they can't be touched and they can do what the hell they want to do.
Yeah, they get arrogant.
Wrong answer, brother. And them people will put you back in your place in a minute, and his place is going to end up in the unemployment line.
But you know what? I'm never really called Jetty. But Jetty, this is what I was thinking about. If you have watched The Temptations, if you have watched, you have watched, what's that other? Oh, Ray.
Rachel, I can think of
anything that you do, when you start getting too famous,
Bill Cosby,
it's going to catch up with you.
Right.
Like my mom used to say, I'm going to get you for the old and the new. When you get too big, or let's put it like this, on this incident, when you get too big for yourself in your head.
Right.
It's sure, the Bible says, pride is before, a proud look is before a fall.
Yeah,
and let me tell you something, like you were saying, JD, some people feel like I am untouchable.
Invisible.
I'm invisible. I can do what I want to do. Look, this is a phrase. Do you know who I am?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah, I know you are a guy that puts his hands on a woman.
And pretty soon you're going to be an unemployed Negro.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You want to stay to jail?
Yeah.
Is domestic violence, is there ever an excuse for putting your hand on another person in
never.
A relationship?
The answer is, I don't care what you do, you can't explain. A woman can't explain to me beating on her husband. A husband can't explain to me beating on his wife. You can't explain to me why you're beating on them children. That's just all there is to it. Violence is never the answer to something.
Never the answer. And I know y'all heard us talking about how a mama would give us that backhand and all that. So I used to say, well, how is that different? This is the deal. Okay, you run your, listen.
Let me explain.
But we're talking about abuse.
Right.
Okay?
We're not talking about the rod of correction.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. My mama wasn't spoiled and now one of her children.
No, no.
She would take the rod and whip you across your back with it one good time, and I guarantee you, you're going to straighten up and fly right. So we're not talking about that. That is not violence to me. That is the rod of correction, and sometimes that is needed. But let me tell you something.
Let's get back on this domestic violence.
Yeah, ain't nothing like a good backhand to catch your attention.
Oh, not that. I had an elderly woman tell me this. She was telling me the story. I was interviewing people that were in long-lasting marriage, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, what kept you guys together? Just tell me a little bit about your relationship. And she began to tell me that, you know, the beautiful story of how they met, how he proposed, all of this kind of carrying on, right?
Right.
Then she told me, she said, one time she had got out of line and was trying to explain her thoughts to her husband.
Right.
And her husband was fed up with her mouth, so he hit her in her mouth. And she said, from that point on, their marriage has been wonderful. I rewinded that when I got home.
Right.
And I looked at their marriage today.
Right.
And I said to myself, now I understand why he stays in his room and she's always away from the house. And about the only thing they do is sleep in the same bed.
Right.
So are you really still together?
No. The answer is, matter of fact, it's not no, it's hell no.
That's why I be saying why. And we were discussing on Sisters United about how the red flag in a dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship. They're everywhere. When he hit, how did that make you think that was love? I'm confused about that.
When he hit her, let me explain something to you. When he hit her, the entire dynamics of their marriage changed. Right then.
Yes, it did.
The entire dynamics changed. Now, the thing is, they are together. Just to say they together. There's probably no love there, no understanding, no compromising.
Obligation.
No obligation.
It's the obligation.
Actually, there's no obligation.
No. I'm saying they came from that generation where
we're gonna
stay
together no matter what. Yeah, we're gonna.
And we don't believe in divorce.
And you know, I tell people this all the time.
Oh my God.
To me, those type of marriages are just like people who just go to church out of salvation. I mean, out of tradition. You only going to church because, you know, that's what my mama done did. You ain't really into the church. You ain't really getting nothing out of church. You ain't really, your soul ain't really salvation. You what they call a seat filler.
kill people.
You see what I'm saying? And the church is full of seat killers.
Wow.
They go, when they go to church on Sunday morning, when they go back home Sunday evening, they feel the same way they did when they went to church Sunday morning. They ain't got nothing out of it.
And that's sad.
And that's the same way they're married.
It's like driving through a car wash and the car still dirty.
And you come out on the back end and still dirty as hell. What you do that for?
What did you do that
for? What are they still married for? Nothing. They getting, neither one of them is getting anything out.
They don't get along. They argue all the time. He's
exactly.
In his room. You're in your car driving around. Everybody there to take a drive, take a ride with you, or they need something. And then y'all come together. When you come together, you don't agree on nothing. But y'all been together for a long time.
Like that. Them people ain't married. Them people home.
Woo! We got this many years.
Them people homemade. You feel me?
I don't believe
that
it.
That is a business arrangement.
I don't believe in that kind of marriage.
You pay your part of the bills, I'm going to pay mine. We're going to live in this house. You stay on your side, I'm going to stay on mine.
I don't like that kind of marriage.
That
I don't agree with that kind of marriage.
That is a business arrangement. That is roommates.
But you know that's how a lot of old school marriages are.
Man,
people that get up and they say, we've been married 50-something years. And you see them just as mean and angry with each other.
And when
they
say, when
you
say that, he's sitting down there beside him going, I can't stand
him.
That's what he's saying in his head. I wish you had died last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's how he said.
Wow. Wow.
You know, but that ain't, but we still together. For what? I feel like people who ain't saved, they have no salvation, can't speak about nothing in the Bible, but they go to church every Sunday. For what? What you there for?
25 years been speaking at the church.
You
could have
been doing
years.
Something else with that time.
Lord.
What's that? For all this work, too.
All right. Y'all know I got the topics tonight. Next topic we're going to be talking about is a FedEx delivery driver refused to assist an 89-year-old man that fell on his porch in Freeport, Texas. He refused to help this man up. And guess what? The daughter of the man was at work but had the camera, the little doorbell camera, the ring thing, and caught the whole video. The man was out there for hours just laying on that porch hoping somebody helped him get up. And this FedEx driver decided, I'm not going to help. I'm not doing it. And, He told the elderly man. He said, man, can't help you. Can't help you, man. Can't do nothing for you, man." And I'm watching the video and I'm saying, "Wow, this is what we've come to. What we've come to. You can't put you already got a mask on. They should give you gloves. You get what I'm saying?" To where you can at least help somebody up. This is where what we've come to in this world, because we're dealing with COVID, we're dealing with a bunch of scared people, and I'm not mad at the delivery guy, but I'm saying, can we find some kind of way to help? You know, that was disturbing. That was disturbing. But I'm hoping that, and I haven't seen a follow-up on the story yet because I want to know what happened. But I know that the daughter, she went to social media, posted the video, and went in on this delivery driver. Now, FedEx said they are investigating and they want to ensure not just the safety of their employees, but the safety of the people that they deliver to. But my thing was, why did he not help? You know, come on now, you tripping. 89-year-old man, you got to think, what if it was your grandfather?
Really?
What if it was your father?
You got to
understand
something about the society that we're living in nowadays. We have gotten to the point where we don't love on each other like we should, or take care of each other.
Back to what you said, the business.
Right. The thing is, we used to revere and honor our elders.
for you.
Now we treat them like trash.
And talk to them any kind of way.
Talk to them any kind of way. We as family members, let's just say that. Family members go put their people in a home because they don't feel like dealing with them.
And they don't feel like they have to.
The same person who raised you, reared you, and fed you, and got you to that 200 and some pounds your fat behind is,
you don't have time
for them no more. You don't want to take care of them. Let me tell you something. Two younger sisters, we have already talked to one another about it. Mama will never be in a home. The only home she's going to ever be in is one hour. On her own. That's it. She is never, ever got to worry about no situation like that as long as she's on this planet.
Exactly.
She got somewhere and somebody's going to take care of her. I don't care if I got to move all the furniture around in my house. I'm going to have somewhere for her to stay and lay down and enjoy herself because she fed me till I was 18 and feeds me right now. Yeah, we go get our bed and put it up in there and do it. Hey, look at that's your room right there. Whatever. But the thing is, we have gotten so far away from respect and honoring our elderly people that situation probably felt like nothing to that dude. A situation like that would have hurt me. I wouldn't have been able to go home and go to sleep, gotten and helped them. And I know for a fact that I've seen elderly people in distress and go get them a cart, go get them the scooters, whatever, at the store, and bring it to them. You ain't got to move. Stay right there where you are. I'll be right back. And we got to get back to taking care of one another. That was a disturbing video that I saw.
Oh, again. It was disturbing.
But, like I said, when somebody don't think they wrong, it's nothing to them. And he's got to know he's wrong with two left shoes. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I hope they fire. Really, I do. And I hope he can't even get a job at Walmart or somewhere.
Oh, you know, he's definitely not going to be able to get a job at Walmart. Walmart don't play that.
As a breeder, I don't care. You know, I don't even want to make Walmart breeding people, let alone helping me at a register and getting paid for it. Get out of here, clown. You know, that's really ridiculous for situation to even occur in 2020.
Exactly.
But let me tell you something. I blame it all on Trump. You know, that's my blame it on Trump and all his idiocracy that he has spread.
You talk about me.
And all of these white supremacists that are bubbling up to the top because Trump is in charge. All these hate preachers, all these hate, you know, the hate rhetoric and what they call it, propaganda that's being pushed throughout the United States.
Yeah.
Ever since Donald Trump has become President of the United States. He has fueled and fed all this ignorance that's going on in our society. I don't care. Just like he blamed Obama for everything, hell, I blame him for everything. And that's just all it is, too. I don't care about this. Look, I don't care if Donald Duck run against him. I vote for Duck. Donald Trump, I vote for Donald Duck. I promise you.
And his theme is to be Duck Tail.
Quack, quack, clown.
Duck Tail.
Ooh. Let's go. Yeah.
Ooh, Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, I think Scrooge, even though Scrooge would be dead tomorrow.
Oh,
he was 100. Yeah. He was rich.
All right. All right, let's move on. I'm going to hit y'all with the pop gun. Y'all know I got to do it. This is the ultimate breakdown of all the nation's holidays. Walmart is closing stores on Thanksgiving and Black Friday because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Go.
Y'all better go and start putting this stuff on layaway. Next month, I think it's start layaway.
You better get that. You better get it early and often.
Go pay your little $10-$15 every week, like I'm gonna do.
You know what
and
I heard?
This stuff that you want for your people, man.
You know what's popping my head?
What's
and
that?
It ain't because I just listened to DMX versus Snoop. It's because this song popped in my head because you gotta think people are pulling their hair out right there. We everything
right
now. And this is the song that's playing in the background. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind.
Up in here.
Up in here. up to get the same people. That's just like income tax time. What did you do with the whole house full of furniture you bought last year?
Well, what it was, they bought disposable cardboard furniture.
Yeah, that
particle board.
And Junior and Nook then jumped on top of the dresser. The dresser fell over. And then they died on the twin size bed. The bed then fell through.
Oh, that thing on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Now they on the mat.
But back to this TV that you Negroes buy every year. What happened to the one you had last year? TVs don't go out in the year.
I just want to know.
TVs don't go out in the year. I got a Sony back there in the back room.
And I got it.
That I done had since 2010.
That Samsung back there, I done had that one since 2000 and,
that long?
6 or 7.
Okay. And it still kicks.
What did y'all do?
I know we had this TPL right here in his living room. I know you had it all 4 years. I don't know.
About 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know you had it at least 4 years.
And it's so pretty. The picture still.
Oh my God, this thing look like you're swimming in water when the pool come on. With some blue water showing on there. Like
oh
pool.
God.
But I don't understand what the hysteria is about black and Thanksgiving Day shop, because they have awesome sales all the time. So I say, just take a look at the sales that are coming up, and put that stuff on layaway and go get it. Look at it at a time, man. If you put on layaway while it's on sale, they probably stay the same.
And some of y'all need to go to cons because you need to build your credit.
Right.
Your credit is trash. Go pay for something. My daddy told me, and I have to say ouch, because my dad told me before he passed, when I was trying to get myself together, he said at least get one credit card.
Right.
I still haven't done it because I'm too paranoid. I've seen so many people with some credit cards losing their mind.
And it did not help your situation to marry a husband that believe in cash and care.
Oh, I believe in it. High five,
wow.
High five, cash, care.
Cash
cards,
cash furniture, cash everything. I'm paying cash for it because I don't want you to come knocking on my door. Somebody, hey, man,
come on, give me my stuff back.
We're trying to pick up dollars. You ain't coming to pick
you
up.
You ain't coming to pick up dollars.
You ain't coming to pick up nothing over here, bro.
Watch it dry, pay for.
You come get you a plate of food from over here or something.
Yeah.
You can't come pick up.
Or you get to Jesus.
There it is. A whole lot of
Jesus. Man, that's crazy. Okay, let's go into binge life. Okay. Oh, my God. Since we've been quarantined, me and my honey,
my God.
Let me tell y'all what we did this side of the quarantine, because they did open Houston back up, then they closed it semi-sort of kind of back down. So me and my husband dived into... It took us a long time, though. We dived into the have and the have not. I don't know about y'all, but that show is so full of foolishness. Candace is off the chain. Candace is a mess. Listen, watch yourself. Candace is a mess. I thought she was going to go straight. Then all of a sudden, that $8 million made her rich up on.
Candace went from the poor house to the White House and back to the rich house.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to by Candace. Candace is slick.
But you know, a character I really don't like, it ain't Candace. Candace all right with me. You know who I don't like. And all of y'all, I know y'all saying, what? But I'm just trying to hear. I do not like the character Hannah. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. You have, listen, I always feel like, now, I'm going to tell you something. I love the writer because it gives me something to talk about. How are you expecting for your daughter to do better and get better when you always telling her she ain't nothing. I just don't understand it. The writers did a good job on that because that's how most people that call themselves Christians talk to other people. You have what you have, what you say. All I'm saying.
Well, let me explain something to you. Hannah is the Florida Evans of the show.
Oh, my God, say it.
Let's talk
about Florida.
She's the Christian morality of the show that always ends up leading them back to the poorhouse.
Lead them.
I don't know why Christian people think they ain't supposed to have that.
Oh, my God.
You know, but we.
Before we talk about that lady on the roof that says she waiting on God.
Right.
I'm waiting on God.
He sent somebody floating by on a dough.
Mm.
He sent somebody floating by in a boat.
Oh, Lord.
And he sent a helicopter.
And she say what?
I'm waiting on God.
I'm waiting on God. Oh, this is not the work of the Lord.
And God showed up. I showed up three times. See, we as Christians got to get back to an understanding of real life. You know, we want everything to be the way we want it to be when we ask God for it. And I tell people all the time, the blessings you ask for ain't gonna always be the prettiest thing or wrapped up in the bow that you thought it was coming. But guess what? You can rest assured that if you ask God for it, back up because it's about to happen. Make room for it because it's about to happen.
Yes, it is.
See, but Hannah, like I said, she always telling the kids, oh, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that. But she broke as a joke.
Bro.
If it weren't for the crier giving her everything, that's the main character family on the show, the crier. If it weren't for them giving her everything, she wouldn't have nothing.
But see, the crier wife won't have blessed. But
right.
She'd rather the crier wife put her in debt. She'd
right.
rather have debt and struggle and woe is me than this lady to bless.
When this lady got...
She says...
The lady is worth $250 million.
Right.
Man, look at
you. The lady told her, you helped me through cancer. I just want to do something nice.
Yeah.
Hannah is, oh, no. Oh, no. I don't need anything. Oh, Lord. Oh, you know, bury me with the dog. You know, all kinds.
Talking about you don't need nothing. You need everything.
You need everything. Your house been burned down. So, you know, did a car blow up? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
House been burned down. I don't know. I'm just.
You need new socks and drawers.
And drawers. You know.
And talking about I don't need nothing. Girlfriends.
I just want to say, Hannah.
Shut up.
Yeah,
that's the thing though. She's so heavenly that she ain't no earth to do.
No.
She don't understand the blessings that God is putting in her life. She turning them down and turning them away.
Staring her in her face.
Right. Because it ain't come the way she thought it should come.
Yeah, she think God got the place. And then what gets me too is how dramatic she is.
Oh, Lord.
And let's not talk about her unhealthy relationship and attachment to her son.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the depiction of some black.
I'm sorry, y'all. I apologize for yawning. But, yeah, but the dynamics between some black mother and son relationship is a very, very unhealthy
dynamic.
And this right here on this show is truly a depiction of a very unhealthy relationship between a mother and a son.
Right.
Wait a minute. Her son came in and put a man out of her bed and got it.
Out of her bed and put
an eligible bachelor that she was dating out of her bed, and he got
that protected her when she got beat up.
So this clown and she let it happen.
She let it happen. I can't understand it.
that mug got fired on his day off.
Look,
that mug got fired
on his
day off.
He got fired on his day off.
What are you feeling about before you trying to fill the clubhouse?
Oh, y'all crazy.
We trying to be in the clubhouse. We got fired on his day off. Ain't that some mess?
Yeah. But this is an awesome show. You're going to love it. And get into it and get back to me on
it. I will.
Yeah.
I've been looking for a new show to watch anyway.
I'm going
to
tell you something. We also watched this movie, Ray, called Fatal Affair.
I saw it.
It changed the entire way that I look at Nia Long, first of all. And for the first time ever, Omar Epps played a psychopathic villain in this show.
Man, did he? I know it.
Brother.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, okay.
So we can go ahead and get into it.
Well, how you feel about that movie, man?
Man, that movie right there was something serious. I'm like you. I've never seen Omar Epps play an episode or play a movie where he looked like a. I mean, he looked. He really played that part of being a psycho, too. And
yes,
I was like, I ain't never seen that side of him.
Yeah, but
other than that,
the crazy
movie
thing about it is. Right? Like you said, he played it so good till, you know, what? It's always a character that plays something, and then you
look at
from after that, I don't care what role he play now, I will always see his bug eyes and the madness, the craziness from that movie.
Right, for real. You right, too. You right, too.
Wow.
Because every time you see something.
No, go ahead, Ray.
No, I've been saying every time you see that movie, every time you see that movie, you're going to mess up and be like, there go that psycho.
There go that psycho. I know I am, because I'm going to be like, oh, my God. You know, but you know what? It'll be easy for him to use that role to transition into like a cold-blooded, say he want to play mafia, black mafia, or some type of, you know, hardcore role. He can go over into it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, he'll do good in that. He'll do good.
Yeah. Because I really, you know, we always see him as a hard-working man that's trying to take care of his family or something, you know, like that. But, like I say, you know, it would be very, very interesting to see him play a part of a gangster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always thought his head was kind of jug-headish. You know, like he had a pie face. And most gangsters have a square-like face. You know, I'm more of a hoodlum, Lawrence Fishburne, whatever. And I'm a big fan of his. And who else? Wesley Snipes. And, you know, gangsters, you know.
Yeah.
So I would
love to see
him. Now, did we play it? He play a part like that?
Fatal Attraction? I've never seen him play a gangster. I've always seen him play like, you know, like the boyfriend or the husband or something. You know, something simple. He don't never play no role like that before.
Matter of fact, he did just play a role that had to protect the family.
What role was that? Wait a minute. What movie was that?
Let me see. I'm gonna have to Google it.
I missed that one.
But I think they were at a house, and these people were in the driveway. What was it? Oh my God!
What are you talking about,
man? I'm talking about the movie that Omar Epps played in, where the people came to the house. And he had, and was his friend there with him? It was two couples at the house. Or was that a different person? I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to Google it.
Wait a minute.
And
did, was the girlfriend in on it? She was part of the scheme too?
I think so. Yeah.
Hold on.
I think you know what I'm talking about. Let me see if I can Google it.
I think I know what you're talking about because he, I remember that. I think I know what movie you're talking about. I don't know the name of it, but I think I saw it.
I'm going to look up Omar Epps. People be like, oh, they don't go.
Look at his etymology.
Yeah, it's like he just, he had to fight to keep him and the, I think these bikers or somebody. His girlfriend went in the restroom. She talked to this white girl. The white girl slipped the phone or something in the girl purse or something happened. And the girl ended up showing up at the house. Let me see. I think I can find it right quick. Might not be him. Might be somebody else. Let me see. Movie.
I think I know what you're talking about, though.
Oh, my God.
Did he get hit in the head and they tied him in the basement?
Yeah. Traffic. He was in Traffic.
Is Traffic?
That's the name of it.
That's Traffic.
I don't think I saw that whole movie.
Oh, that was with, what's the name was in there, too?
He did play gangster. He played gangster in I don't know if it was gangster, but A Day in the Life. Yeah, that's a movie. I'm gonna have to watch that and give a review on that on our website. That looked like it was good.
I am too.
Let me see. We got 90 seconds. Oh, they got a movie he was in called First Time Felon, where he was in there with Delroy Lindo.
I don't know. I ain't never heard that one either.
I'm not watching
a
movie where he was a Dracula, because that don't make sense. He don't look like he could be.
No, I don't think he'd be a good guy.
It was pretty good.
Well, I don't know,
okay,
man.
I'm going to have to watch it. So for next show, we only got a few minutes, so for next show, we'll do an Omar Epps review.
Okay.
All right, go ahead and sign off. Go ahead and sign off, Raymond.
Hey, this is Trainer Ray. Sorry for being so late today. Had some things going on, but thank y'all for joining us tonight on 219 to talk. Please forgive me. I will be here next time. Thank y'all for coming out. Enjoy yourself.
All right, this has been J.D. the Barber and Queenie. You want to sign off, J.D.? Oh, he back. Hey.
Look out. This is JD the Barber. Thank y'all for a great show on a Thursday night here in Houston, Texas. It's JD the Barber again signing off. Brand new socks and draws. We'll holler at you next time, baby. See y'all later.
All right. We out.
All right.
219. 219.